Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast.
Oh, this is Season 5, Episode 6, Family. Tara inadvertently puts everyone in danger when she secretly casts a spell on her friends after her family arrives in Sunnydale to celebrate her birthday. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
I'm Lirio.
I'm Katrin.
Hey, welcome, Katrin.
Welcome, welcome.
That's right.
Thank you.
We've kicked out Gabby and hired Katrin.
We thought she'd be a little bit too negative for this episode.
So sorry, Gabrielle.
Just kidding.
There was enough feedback hating on your Tara hate that we decided to turn that into a double hate opportunity. And
I hate that Gabby's not here because I really wanted to hear what she had to say about this episode, and I really wanted to explain that the Tara Willow relationship, or Tara, that there is the fan base for that ship is very passionate.
Yes, we are.
And, yeah, I just wanted to let her know that, you know, don't let the negative get to her. That
no.
It's just, it's very a very passionate group of people.
It's just fans being fanatical, that's all.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, people have to understand that by Gabby not liking Tara doesn't mean she doesn't like you. I think people take it a little bit personal.
What? How dare you say that?
I know.
Well, and also, like what I'm realizing watching it over and over is I feel how Buffy feels about characters. Buffy hasn't, until this episode, accepted Tara into the Scoobies. And so maybe now that Tara is a Scooby, we will accept her more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm anxious to see.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see how it all goes.
All right. But Katrin, I think I remember you were on Hellmouth podcast, weren't you?
Yes, for the same episode, actually.
Okay, so you're a big Tara fan.
I am.
Awesome. And are you in an operating daycare?
I am not.
Listeners of the show, rejoice. Call back. Yes, we should just explain, if anyone hears background noise that sounds like a library, it's because one of us is in a library. Which apparently you can podcast from now. It's not like the Nazis are as rough as they used to be, right?
Well, I work here, so I get special
training. Oh, nice!
Even better.
Wow, that's almost like podcasting from a hospital. Never mind. All is well. So, I want to begin with, I was right. What? Fuck you, Joss Whedon. I thought I was so smart, and I knew exactly what was going on.
But you kind of did.
Not really.
I was
double-crossed.
Well, sort of. Not really. Mm-hmm. Because no one else knew.
Yeah, I suppose.
He misled you.
Totally misled me with his little tiny seeds.
You think so? You know, because you figured it all out. Because the thing is, up until the point where she got socked in the face, which was absolutely fabulous.
Oh my god, I need to talk about that, yes.
Up until that point, we knew what... You figured out everything that what Tara was all about.
Yeah, I guess. I'm so, still bitter that I wasn't exactly correct.
I'll give you credit. You can have that
one.
Well,
thank you. I appreciate that.
So last season, in season 4, when Willow and Tara were doing the spell, and she took the dust and tossed it under the bed, and made us suspicious of her. Which her reasoning was she was afraid that her and Willow were getting in over their head.
Mm. Yeah, that's what we thought, right?
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Well, she's afraid of the magic. She thinks she's bad. Her family has led her to believe that she's bad.
That's not what I was saying. I was saying it's because Tara was a demon.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, in actuality, what happened was she's ashamed of herself because she's this big, ugly demon, supposedly, or... she's afraid that Willow's getting in over her head.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I took away from this episode when we flash back to that, because at first we thought everything you just said, but now it's like, oh, she threw the dust under the bed because she's a demon. And it was, wasn't it a spell to see more demons?
It was.
Yeah.
That's what I took away from that episode. Anyway, honestly, it's a moot point now because she's not a demon.
Yeah. So,
or is she? Sorry.
yeah. I'm pretty sure the spike test clears it all up. So at the beginning of this episode, past the Tara and Willow moment, we have Buffy telling Giles about Dawn. And I was surprised it happened so quickly.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it would drag on and on.
And Buffy would keep it from everybody and have this... secret.
And it would get more annoying. But no, she told Giles right away. And
well, she has to have someone in her corner.
Yeah. And I thought
I think if she kept it away from everybody, then that would be an opportunity for them to all turn against Buffy.
I suppose. And then I guess we were right really close to where we left off last time because
Buffy is wearing that same horrible shirt.
And the evil and the evil demon woman gets out from her rubble pile, from her pile of rubble.
Uh-huh.
And apparently she's very upset now.
We still didn't learn her name, right?
Nope.
I don't believe so. Buffy's moving back home.
Yes, yay. Because of her mother.
And mostly because of Dawn, I thought.
Yeah, because she has to keep an eye. She has to be overprotective of Dawn.
This is going to work out so well.
It's one less set for them to worry about.
Yeah, my prediction. My prediction is Dawn will run away from home.
Really? No way.
Because of overbearing Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, maybe Joyce dies, and then Dawn runs away from home. You doubt Joyce would die?
I don't think Joyce.
Yana Calderash was killed. He'll kill off Joyce. He doesn't care. Yeah. Oh, Yana.
Kind of some funny trivia about that scene where they're packing up Buffy's dorm room. Mm-hmm. It shows Tara in Buffy's closet packing up her clothes. And in the script, Joss Whedon wrote, "Tara's in the closet," and then in parentheses, "No jokes, please."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't this entire episode just a big metaphor for lesbians?
Yeah, because her family makes her feel ashamed of what she is, and
everyone accepts her in the end, and she can be who she wants to be.
And then, did y'all get the? You know how Willow in. Not New Moon Rising, but one of those Oz episodes where Oz comes back, where Willow is, she wants to let people know, but she's ashamed, and she's just ashamed to let people know how important Tara is to her.
Yeah.
I got that feeling when the family came in and Tara was introducing everybody Willow wanted her to let everybody know how important Willow was to her. Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, but, you know, normal. I mean, there are heterosexual couples that have a hard time admitting that
their
significant other is their significant other.
Right.
So it's just doubly compounded if you're not out of the closet and you're not someone that naturally says, "Hey, my boyfriend," or "Hey, my girlfriend." What else? Let me look in my notes here. Tara's joke.
Oh. I still don't get it.
I kind of get it, but they're kind of hitting us over the head with the Tara's an outsider. Nobody gets her. Like, we know.
Yeah,
but I think then that's the joke. The joke is not that it makes sense. The joke is that she's the outsider.
Yeah, quite.
And nobody gets her. Yeah. How hard it is to buy a gift for somebody that you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pennywise the Clown visits the hospital. For those of you that are also listeners of Intro to X, also known as Intro Talks, can I just say that this is probably the only Buffy X-Files crossover episode ever.
I don't know.
Because of all of the... all of the Pennywise references, of course. Yeah, so the Pennywise demon is about to, and I know what they're called. I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to call them the Pennywise demons. And the Pennywise demon's about to kill somebody, and then what's her name comes in and says, "I have a job for you."
What?
Yeah.
This is in the X-Files?
No, I'm talking about Buffy now.
Oh, I'm so...
That crazy demon woman, or whatever
she is. Oh, red dress girl.
Red dress crazy woman. She sends that demon that looks like a... God, sort of looks like a...
Pennywise the clown.
A clown. A clown, yeah.
Sorry. I have...
nightmares about that? Me too.
No. I can't find it in my notes. Was it like a soul-sucking... demon?
Well, whoever it is, that guy had a forked tongue.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Marrow-sucking demons. Ooh. They suck. And I didn't write down the name of them because I don't think it really matters.
So were they in the juvenile cancer ward or something?
Ooh.
Getting all that fresh marrow from the leukemia patients?
I don't know.
That's where I would go. I've said too much. Sorry. Moving on. Anya is so happy that she has a job.
Mm-hmm. She has a place in the world now.
She has a place in the world. Good for her.
You know what? That little exchange between her and Giles, I was like, oh, that was kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, finally, I'm not like rolling my eyes at everything.
Were you annoyed with her just because she was a bum and unemployed?
No, not at all. I was annoyed with her because, again, I think her being so aloof and just blurting things out because she doesn't know better is a cheap way to get people to laugh. Be like, oh, she doesn't know any better. She'll just blurt out the dumbest things.
Yeah, and I don't think her character was defined well enough. She's now becoming more of a well-rounded character.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They do it in with a whole bunch of shows. I think I've said it on the podcast before. Like in Community, they do it with Abed, and like in Big Bang Theory with Sheldon. Like that's socially awkward that just says whatever because they don't know better.
Hey, can we get to the part where Spike is fantasizing about Buffy while he's having sex with Harmony?
Oh my gosh.
They show that on television, that thrust.
Thrust.
I was like, are you kidding me? Not that, like, yeah. This is a kid's show, right?
No.
No.
They're college kids now.
I guess so.
It's just like when Saved by the Bell turned into Saved by the Bell the college years, and all of a sudden Tiffany Amber Thiessen had her tits out all the time. At least that's how I remember it.
The professors were coming on to her, and everybody was binge drinking, you know.
Yeah, Mike Rogers, the wall of acting.
I was like, really? Really? But then I was like, oh, I guess so.
Yeah. No one steal my quote.
No. That's all right.
I
had a good laugh out loud there.
It was awesome. It was great. I totally, totally adored that. Xander and Willow are thinking about gifts for Tara.
Xander and
Anya, or Buffy. Anyway, they don't know what to get Tara. They don't know her very well. I guess here the point is, Tara is Willow's plus one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've all been in situations like that where we've had, you know, friends, and then there's a party for the friend's partner, and we're like, okay, sure. And then we're, you know, a little bit kind of, oh, yeah, I wonder what would be a good gift for this person. And then you get them a Tim Hortons gift card. Right, Kim?
Yes.
Never fails. Everyone's happy with one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny.
But Jazz, brilliant when he said what he said. I don't want to steal anyone's quote.
No, we don't want to steal it at all. And then some Amish guy is in the store.
Amish guy? You don't mean some Southern guy?
He looked Amish with that beard. He had one of those...
If you can call it a beard.
A very manly beard.
Mm-hmm. It's Kevin Rankin. Are y'all familiar with Kevin Rankin?
The name sounds familiar. Why does the name
sound familiar? He's been in a number of shows.
Like, he was in Friday Night Live.
Didn't see it.
Justified.
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
He was in that show Trauma.
Haven't seen it.
He's been in a lot of things lately, okay. Especially.
That's cool. And it's, what's his name? Donnie?
Yeah.
Her brother. Dun, dun, dun.
I wasn't expecting that.
Neither was I. And then as soon as I realized that is her brother and the name of the episode is Family, I was very disappointed that we were going to get more of Tara's backstory. And then I realized, oh, they're going to reveal that she's a demon. I will be, what's the word?
Through the moon.
I will be
over the moon.
I will be
ecstatic.
No, not a feeling. It's almost justified. It's almost like justified, but it's a different word. Anyway,
vindicated,
validated.
Validated. Thank you. Yes, my eternal search continues. I will be validated. My theory will be correct, and I will be the smartest person in the room that I am alone in. And let the roller coaster of self-satisfaction and patting myself on the back begin, because I was all over this episode for the longest time, only to be extraordinarily disappointed near the end. I mean, I'm happy for Tara, but really I'm not, because I thought it was going to lead to all kinds of bad guy tendencies for Willow, would be torn between demon girlfriend and slayer best friend, and I think that it could have added a new dimension to the show, but my fantasies of Willow turning bad and trying to kill Buffy, I guess, are nearly dashed.
But then she would have been like Buffy season one, torn between Angel the Vampire.
Angel's a vampire?
Who has a soul.
Oh.
And he's glad to see ya.
Really? Okay. Can we all agree that Tara's father has short man syndrome?
Sure.
He's overcompensating for being tiny.
Yeah, this whole Southern domineering...
Tell you what!
Does that bother you, Stephanie?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. It must.
Uh-huh. What, isn't it a perfect... characterization of everyone who's Southern?
Yeah, we're all stuck in the 1950s.
You're not? Uh-huh.
And the more Southern your accent, obviously, the dumber you are.
Yeah.
Hey, is that Cletus?
Sure.
Lurline.
I watched the miniseries The Hatfield and McCoy.
Oh, yeah?
And... It was pretty good. I think that it should have been longer than three. But anyways, they, whatever. That's what she said. Go ahead. And then whenever they were dealing with, like, the dumbest of the dumb, like, the yodel in the voice, and, like, they just were just so animated, like, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Other than that, it was really good.
Yeah, I've been watching Rocket City... What is it? Rocket City Rednecks? Is that it? Rocket City. Oh, shoot. It's where they're in, you know, the Huntsville, we have the NASA Space and Rocket Center and Redstone Arsenal and, you know, rocket scientists.
Uh-huh.
And they're rocket scientists, and it's kind of like Mythbusters where they're building, like, things.
Oh, okay.
But this guy has the most, fun accent, and that's just the joke of the show, is that he talks so country, but he's smart, and he can do things, and he can do stuff.
Can you do the rest of the podcast in that
No. place,
please?
This is not a stereotype podcast.
Stephanie's smart, so she's totally blowing the stereotype out of the water.
Steph, can I ask you a question? Actually, sure. I'll begin with Caitlin. Caitlin, I'm assuming you have a dad.
Sure.
Yes.
What do you call your dad?
Dad.
Kim?
Sir.
Kim, what do you call your dad?
I call my dad Tyrone.
Oh, I wish my dad's name was Tyrone.
I only started doing that this year, last year, oh my and he's God. Okay with it.
That's one of my favorite names ever, by the way. just so you know, I used to call my sister's cat ages ago a Tyrone Aloysius Johnson. Stephanie, what do you call your father?
Well, when I see him, or when I, have the occasion to speak to him, I call him Daddy.
Nice. Who here calls their dad sir?
Not me.
No.
No?
Not even when I was in trouble.
Uh-huh. Never. Okay. So, because I thought maybe this Tara calling her dad sir was less about him being a domineering jerk and more of a cultural thing.
Well, I think we, in the South, mm-hmm. I know of a lot of people who make their children say, sir, really? Ma'am. Yes.
I should try that.
Yeah, it's pretty prevalent here, mm-hmm. but my parents, and we don't make Morgan do anything. Sir, ma'am.
That was pretty common for us when we were in school. Like, really? I remember in high school and university, male teachers were sir, and female teachers were always miss, even if they were,
teachers,
a man.
Yeah, but your parents?
And sir. No, I guess, parents, no.
Anyway. It's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who calls her parents the equivalent of sir and ma'am in Portuguese.
Oh, yeah?
And I always thought that was really, really weird.
Is it like an old-fashioned thing?
I don't know if it's old-fashioned, because it's just... I've had a lot of friends who are also Portuguese, and they're from different parts of Portugal, their families, but mm-hmm. That was the only person I knew of that would say
that. Was her family close?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just...
Because I think it was more of like a... if you're unfamiliar, like a more formal thing.
Yeah, like if you come back from boarding school, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, so I was just wondering about that. Let's see, where are we at? Riley moment.
Yay, Riley.
Riley's very handsome in this episode.
I suppose.
He has a big boy haircut.
That's right, he does have a big boy haircut now.
What was he doing at the bar, slumming it?
Oh, that's later. Oh, this is when...
I can't bring that up now? Okay.
A little later. This is when he finished unpacking for Buffy. And then Dawn wanted to go across the street to her friend's house for dinner, and Buffy completely overreacts,
mm-hmm.
which was just lame. But Riley was like wondering what was bugging Buffy, and Buffy would not tell him.
Really?
Yeah. So that's really bugging him, because he needs to know everything,
and he wants to help.
No, it's because he needs to know everything.
I think he wants to. Yeah, I don't think he wants to know everything.
No, he wants to feel useful.
Yeah.
He's not content with being asked to help only when she wants help.
Yeah.
He needs to feel useful all the time so that he can feel
like a man.
No, I think so he can feel secure in his relationship.
He misunderstands. She is trying to keep the deal about Dawn a secret, mm-hmm. but he thinks mm-hmm. that she's pushing him away and rejecting
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, even though they've kind of commented on it in the show, do you think that Riley still feels intimidated by her being the Slayer?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's something that can go away.
Yeah.
No, even if they acknowledge it, they'll always be in the back of his mind, I believe.
I mean, it's just something that you have to just deal with, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, get especially with to. Him getting weaker because he doesn't have the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He doesn't have the drugs or the chip or anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So, has anyone here ever walked into their apartment and found their father standing in the middle of it?
No, that's creepy.
Unannounced? Now, no. For me, it would no. really freak me out because he's been dead for 19 years, but let's say your father is not a ghost. Mm-hmm. And you walk into your private space and he's in there already.
Weird.
Letting yeah. himself in already.
Very weird. Does Willow, did they live? Yeah, they live together.
Yes,
right?
They do.
Yeah.
And I think awkwardness. He just let himself in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he could run across her Wicca stuff.
Well, he did. I'm sure yeah. he was snooping the whole time he was there. I agree yeah. with whoever screamed. That's how I would react entirely. That was not cool. No. Immediately, I hate this guy.
Hopefully, but that's the last time we see him.
Well, no, he comes back later in the episode, remember?
No, I mean, like, ever.
Yes, I hope so as well. So.
And Amy Adams, jeez. She's a weird cousin, right?
Yeah.
Is that who that yeah. was? I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Amy Adams, that looks like Isla Fisher, that looks like, you know, there's like.
I have some strong language for cousin Beth near the end of the episode, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah she's like, yeah. Okay, we're not there yet.
No, I know. So okay. her dad is like, you better come home because you know what's going to happen. And evil is inside of you and you're evil and da-da-da.
Shaming her.
Oh my mm-hmm. God.
Yeah. You should be ashamed.
See, it's a whole ashamed. Amish thing. They might be Amish.
Maybe.
And
she could be Amish in the clothes that she was wearing. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. 90s fashion. Love it and hate it.
At the same time. Mm-hmm. I agree entirely. And then we have a little interlude with the evil woman chick, demon chick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call her Chiquita Demonica until we know her name. So Chiquita Demonica is that her walk-in closet?
Sure.
Okay, so she's in like a walk-in closet and has the demon all tied up.
Yeah.
And so there's all kinds of, I guess you're going to be doing this for me. And then we quickly go back to...
So her whole deal is that she wants to kill the Slayer.
I think so.
And not that she wants to get that the energy that is Dawn.
I think she wants to get rid of the Slayer first.
Yeah, okay. I think she's mad at the Slayer because the Slayer made her look foolish or whatever.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I think we're at the part where we're like, oh my God, really? Dawn puts a spell on the Scooby Gang.
Tara
puts a spell on the Scooby Gang, mm-hmm. including yeah. Dawn, to not let them see her demonness.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. And it doesn't go very well.
Yeah, I always wondered if she was trying to hide all demons, like if she knew that would happen. Because, I mean, that seems like a really stupid spell to put on the Slayer.
I think that's a pretty stupid speller.
I think you're right. I think she had the intention of just hiding herself, but then hid all demons.
I think in her frantic emotions.
Yeah.
She didn't really do her research and grab the first demon hiding spell mm-hmm. she got her hands on and didn't think but forward. No foresight here, first, Tara. No foresight.
At first, I thought, okay, she's way deep into this yeah. witch thing. Like, she's, yeah, like, light years ahead of Willow.
And we're finally going to see it. And we're going to see her true yeah. colors. And, oh, no, she's just a bumbling idiot when it comes to this. Is the impression we're left with later.
Yeah.
So, invisible demon fight.
Awesome.
Invisible Spike to the rescue.
Even better.
Oh, Willow got, I mean, Stwillow got thrown Stwillow? Into the wall. Big time. that was...
I kind of laughed at the whole Spike to the rescue thing.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. he was going to be like, oh, Buffy's going to see me. And then she didn't see. She's yeah. like, hello.
Oh, man. I just rescued you and you have no idea. This sucks.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, so brilliant.
And, oh, yeah. Before the invisible demon fight, I think Cousin Beth berates Tara
mm-hmm.
and is just a total bitch to her.
Rudeness.
Yeah. Tells but her she needs to go home and take care of her father.
Yeah,
and
there's
her
a house friend. To take care of. Your father and brother need you to take care of them.
But if she's a female in that family, mm-hmm. wouldn't she be a demon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe she'll be back later.
This is what leads to me being super angry at her near the end.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, invisible demons. No one thought to grab a bag of flour and just throw it in the air and see where it fell. That's what I would have done.
But I love that.
They don't have flour in the magic shop.
That Spike always intends to do one thing, like, you know, he intends to hurt Buffy, but he ends up doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, he just never does what he sets out, what he says he's going to do, his intentions.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was something else. Anyway, was there a break the spell, or did they just kill them all?
Yeah, Tara.
Oh yeah, Tara broke it.
She broke it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That was yeah. So that was a pretty awesome fight.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
And then all of a sudden, Tara's dad. Her brother and her cousin are there to take her away.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's revealed that they have no idea what they're talking about, and they're making it all up.
Yeah.
To subjugate their women.
Yeah, it was a really good point that they made about mm-hmm. trying to keep the women down. I was like, mm-hmm.
And which is why I'm very, very angry with Beth. Because yeah, she goes back.
Yeah. She doesn't see the example that her cousin...
You self-hating woman.
Yeah.
Ugh, the worst.
Well, that's all she knows, I guess. Uh-huh.
Still.
Yeah. Abused wife.
You know, if all I knew was... you know, what's a good example? If all I knew was a banana for dessert my whole life and someone showed me a bowl of ice cream, I wouldn't say, oh, no, thanks. I'm going to stick with bananas.
Yeah, but I think Beth was still, she was afraid of the uh-huh. ice cream.
Yeah.
The bowl of ice cream was scary because it was,
because it was full of lesbian witches.
Yes.
Not very scary right. at all. I'd say that's delicious. Sorry, I'm being horribly sexist and misogynist.
Yeah, so, okay, well, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon wrote this and directed this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess because of the subject matter, this was very important to him that he make this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too.
Because I saw with the opening credits, because usually I don't watch the opening credits, but I did, and, well, not what, but pay attention to them. Yeah. I was like, oh, written and directed. I'm like, oh, this must be a good one. Because whenever we are on Potential Cast, everyone's like, oh, Joss, when he writes and directs, mm-hmm. it's so good.
And he usually writes and directs the big episodes, yeah. like the finales.
Exactly.
And yeah. And this was a, you know, kind of a low-key, small mm-hmm. episode. But I guess it's the subject matter that really, you know, that made it so important to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's forcing his liberal agenda on America.
You mean his secular humanist agenda?
Yeah.
His self-described feminist agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Ramming it down our throats.
Yeah, and we're going to take it. You're going to take Joss Whedon's women's rights episode, and you're going to love it. Unfortunately, it was Tara-centric, which...
That's all right.
It's okay, but I did find her extra annoying.
I just don't like when she does, like, her stutter-stop talk, because it doesn't sound natural at all.
Yes. I agree.
Like, when she's just normal, well, I don't want to say normal, but when she's just, I guess it's just a part of her character, but when she's comfortable with Willow, and like, I don't mind her at all. She's pleasant.
But when she's a stammer girl,
yeah,
I find it's not very natural.
Not natural.
I find it's not very natural either. I concur with you.
Kenshin. Well, I'm a big fan of...
Yeah, tell us all about Tara.
Not all about. Don't spoil us.
I was a big fan of Tara right from the start. Mm-hmm. Her and Willow's story means a lot to me personally, because watching it meant a lot to me, and watching it is what made me finally come out. But, I mean, basically their storyline is just, it means a lot to me. And I love Tara because she reminds me a lot of me. Mm-hmm. She's shy, but I mean, when she's with the people she's comfortable with, she's really comfortable there, and she is much less awkward. But basically, my favorite Tara thing, and I think it is why I love her so much in this episode, is based that joke at the beginning. I mean, it shows that she's an outsider, but I do that all the time. Like, I'll be sitting with my friends, and I'll usually reference Buffy or mm-hmm. Doctor Who or something none of them know about.
Your friends are lame.
Hilarious.
And usually it is hilarious.
Your friends are lame.
Just kind of
they don't watch Buffy or Doctor Who?
One of them watches Doctor Who.
The least lame of your friends. Yeah. Anyway. I'm not trying to judge. I'm just judging.
I'm not trying to, but I am.
I'm just a really big fan of Tara, and I like this episode because... Well, we get to learn a lot more about her, and she reminds me of me. So,
Cool. I think it's very important to find a character on television that you can relate to, and aspects of characters that you can relate to. Just like Buffy, I don't know what it is, but you know, but especially by the end of the series, it's just. And it's not that I like Buffy all the time. Buffy is, she's obnoxious sometimes. She's self-righteous. And I think it happens on a lot of shows. The main character is not the most likable person. Yeah.
And I think it was around this time, too, where a lot of shows would have a gay character. And I, like, even watching... like the relationship between Willow and Tara now, like they've never shown them kiss. When they hold hands, it's like, oh, it's a big deal, them holding hands, and they look each other and smile. Whereas now you watch a show with gay characters, and they just have the casual kiss. They, you know, just regular that we'd see, you know, heterosexual couples do that on from time, like the beginning of time on film. So I think that it's. Especially for, you know, teenagers and growing up and at the same time watching a show where a character is going through the exact same thing you're going through or someone that you can relate to so much. I think that's so important for TV shows now.
Yeah. Just like Modern Family. You know, like, my husband is like, these television shows are so raunchy. But Modern Family is, your entire family can watch it. There's no, you know, adult or anything. It's just straightforward family situations. Mm-hmm. And where people that have never watched it may turn their nose up at it and think that it's, I don't know, whatever, immoral, a gay couple on television, especially to raising a child or whatever. But, I mean, that television show, there is nothing that I would not want my grandmother to see in that show, you know, nothing that would make my grandmother blush.
Yeah. Like, I think even shows like like in the sitcoms, like in the 70s and 80s, whenever they had a gay character, there was always like the butt of the joke, or mm-hmm. even they would be there for comic relief because, oh, they're so sassy. Look at what they're saying, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. To be kind of to be sensational.
Yeah.
But now the new normal, it's a funny show, but it's more of a, it's very, it's in your face.
Yes. Kind
of, they really focus on issues that
it is so political. Sometimes it's hard to watch.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Did you watch, was it the one yesterday with John Stamos and
yeah, that was very good. And
I thought it was funny, but at the same time I was like, oh, this is kind of offensive. Yeah. I think, but that's what they were going for.
Yeah, and well, in which they have the Ellen Barkin character that's like on Glee, where the Sue Sylvester character that's kind of
well
abrasive.
And, mm-hmm.
It's actually the same guy who's the creator of those shows, Glee and The Normal, so that's why they're so similar.
Yeah, he's got that, I don't know, that attitude about his writing that's very, not sarcastic, I don't know, sharp.
He really likes to make his political opinions clear in his TV, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
But and I see that we need both. We need shows that, you know, that your grandmother can watch, and we need the shows that address issues that need to be addressed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find a lot of shows now, they're very, or even back then, they'd have a really strong opinion, but at the end, everyone has that reflective moment, and they have that family moment. It's like, you know what? I'm glad we all learned something today.
or they try to pretend like they're going to go there, and they always back away.
Oh, really?
The new normal, they go all the way.
They
don't back off at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, mm-hmm. How did we get to this? Where are we at?
We're at Tara needing to know if she's really a demon or not, and Spike volunteering and punching her in the face.
Yeah, he's got the solution. Just simple.
And then he recoils with pain, confirming Tara is human.
Okay, I have a question about the mother. What happened to her mother?
I think she was burned.
She turned 20. You think she was burned?
At the stake.
Oh, burned at the stake.
Which stake?
Would they have... I mean, you know,
I don't know.
What would have happened to Tara?
I think her mom moved away because she couldn't take that man anymore.
Yeah.
And didn't they say her mom died?
Did she?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. But how many times did you rewind and watch Spike punching Tara in the face?
I did not do any such thing. I abhor violence in all its forms. I do.
It was so funny because it came out of nowhere. I was not expecting that. And I was just like, that is so friggin'
brilliant. I thought he was like going to smell her or something. Right?
I was not even thinking about that at all.
It was awesome.
It was so funny.
Not because she got punched in the face, because it was hilarious and it was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Spike in this whole episode was perfect. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm not a huge Spike fan. I think he's another over-exaggerated character, but when he came in this episode, he entered stage left perfectly mm-hmm. and exited stage right perfectly, mm-hmm. and it was just brilliant.
It was the right amount of Spike, the right tone, everything.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Served two awesome purposes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because in previous episodes, sometimes it's like they were just reaching for a reason. Him in the episode.
Yeah, because he's in the credits, and I guess there's a minimum amount of screen time associated with him.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, but he was so funny. So perfect.
It was awesome.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's funny because this is actually where I start to like Spike more. Like,
me too!
I liked him in the beginning when he was a villain, and I didn't really care for him in season 4 because, I mean, he was funny, but he was just kind of there.
Yeah.
With a chip in his head.
Yeah.
But, it's funny because he punches my favorite character in the face.
And you love him.
And that's when I start warming up to him.
Yeah. You're messed up.
I think it kind of shows, like, he's, I don't care what happens, but he's willing to help. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows he cares more than he lets on. And I like that.
I think he's conflicted about caring too, which I really like.
Yeah.
Because he did show up just to see Buffy get her ass kicked. Then he was like, ugh, all right.
And he ended up helping. And then at the end, he says he doesn't care. But mm-hmm. you know that he does. He really does deep down inside.
Yeah.
And I also liked how much Harmony was in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
like, Harmony, I think I mentioned this before, because Harmony and Cordelia, they kind of were the same, like, they are on the surface, yeah. superficial, blah, 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 blah. But when Cordelia did it, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
But when Harmony does it, I'm just like, oh, Harmony.
I know, she's awesome.
You know, even her t-shirt, it said Harmony on it. I was like, this is perfect.
It's really good.
Oh, great.
Oh, and when they're trying to figure out who the crazy woman in the red dress mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. Giles asks Buffy what she's like. She says, well, she's like Cordelia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really funny, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. I think we have some feedback.
All right.
Let's get some feedback, and then we'll rate, and we'll quote, and then we'll talk about next time. I think we have a couple of voicemails from Paul Mackey. Here we go.
Hey, potential cast. Hey, you know, it was like full on Thursday night, Friday morning when I, yeah, because I work overnight, something like that, that I realized that I totally biffed calling in on for, you know, for your recording on Wednesday. I don't know what's up. I mean, it's kind of busy here at work, and I don't know. I was just, I think I did most of my over preparation for the, for the enumeration podcast appearance that I made. So this is just a call belated to say, sorry, I muffed that one up, but, I'll get on this next one. Whatever it might be. Did this feel like it was a plug for the enumeration podcast? Cause, I don't know, maybe it kind of was a plug for the enumeration podcast where I'll be appearing at some point in the near future.
Oh, well. I will be looking up the enumeration podcast because I really want to know what that means.
I think it's for
numerology,
a podcast about numbers, the TV show.
No, you mean numb 3 years?
Yes,
numb
3 years.
Oh, another voicemail from Paul Mackey. Let's see if he plugs a different show.
It's not legal to keep ferrets in California. This is a voicemail for family. And this is Paul from the freezer room. How many times did I have that whole some of your CDs are my CDs conversation? At least twice. All right, seriously, though, this episode pays off some things that have been a long time coming. I hope you got some satisfaction from that. Actually, that part probably could have applied to No Place Like Home as well. All right, Joss wrote and directed this episode. I think I spoil nothing discussing this as being very much a mission statement from Joss. The theme of the families we make is spelled out from Giles directly stating his patriarchal role in the dorm room all the way through to Buffy's declaration of family at the climax. I also spoil nothing by saying you might see this theme again in various forms extending in some ways throughout Joss's career, even a certain summer blockbuster film. People much savvier than me have written far more eloquently than I can sum up in one voicemail, writing articles and dissertations about this. Well, I've probably said enough on this. Now I just need to remember my recorder so I can reach those intro toxers next. And then I need to do a blast from the past call. Huh, all these call-ins keeps a guy busy, and I don't even have a podcast to call my own. Yet.
Thank you, Paul.
Awesome.
Numerology or enumerology?
The enumeration podcast.
Enumeration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you stick an R in the front, it's about getting paid. Our last bit of audio feedback for this episode comes from Kevin Batchelder.
Hey, Gax and special guest, it's Kevin Batchelder here. First off, just wanted to say I really appreciate all your hard work on the podcast. I'm listening right along as you go through and doing my rewatch to match up. I know you haven't been a big fan of Tara or Dawn or some recent story items, but as a longtime fan, it's great to hear your initial thoughts and makes for a lot of fun. So please keep doing it and really appreciate the time it takes to do it. Want to offer some feedback specifically on a family episode here. I know, you know, lots of longtime fans certainly really appreciate this episode. It's a chance to really see Buffy the series excel, I think, in what it does exceptionally, which is make us emotionally get tied into the group. As a lot of us know, and this is certainly a good parallel here in the story, you know, as you're growing up, you think your blood relatives, your close-knit family is going to be the end-all be-all, and then once you get into your teens and 20s, for most of us, you realize it really becomes the extended family when you get to choose some additional family. And that comes out very much here. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had our core Scooby group for a while, and now we're getting a couple of other folks, you know, and like any time you have a bigger extended family, sometimes you like a lot of them and sometimes not so much. But it just goes to show you what happens in life and how you deal with it. So I very much appreciated that. I also think, as you might recall from back when I was on the Prophecy Girl episode with you, we had that scene after Buffy had died and, you know, Xander brought it back, and then Xander, Buffy, and Angel head to the school to take on the Master, and they have that hero's walk with the you know, the cheesy theme playing. Now, as a longtime fan, it's one of those hair stands up on the back of your neck, fist pump. You just absolutely love it as you're seeing the show Buffy become Buffy. And then at the season two finale, becoming part two, you know, when Buffy and Angel have that big sword fight, and he's totally beating the heck out of her and has her on the ropes and stands over and says that, you know, what does she have? She has no hope. And she just closes her eyes and grabs the sword and said, yeah, but I have me. So another fist pump moment. And the same way here, I think, for me, and I think many longtime fans, when Buffy tells Tara's father that he's going to have to go through her and everybody else stands behind her, again, another fist pump. That's the family. That's when she's become a part of it there. So really some cool stuff for me. Maybe not for you who don't be a big fan of her or haven't been through the series, but I know I'm very excited. Well, looking forward to joining you folks for the season 5 finale in about 16 episodes there. Very much looking forward to that and all the time you put in. I do appreciate it. Hope you all take care.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just watched this episode on my big 55-inch television, and that shot of, you know, where Buffy is standing there with her arms crossed and her chest out, and they're all behind her. I mean, on that big television, you could really appreciate that shot of them, and it just sends chills down your spine.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was so cheesy.
I think it was cheesy too, but I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of, like, you know, a big, perfect example, Class Protector. Ugh. But anyway, when she's like, you gotta go through me, and then Dawn's like, and me. Then I expect, you know, Xander, and me. And then it's like, I am Spartacus. No, I am Spartacus, you know? I thought, like, if it turned into that, then it would be cheesy. But I appreciated it, and I understand the purpose. But me personally, I'm not saying that for people who like it, you're idiots. I'm not saying that at all. So don't get mad at me.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just that's the moment when Buffy decided that Tara was part of the Scoobies. That's the moment where she accepted her because Willow loved her. She loves her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But I'm so cynical, and everything I have to tear apart and analyze, that I always, like, have the eye roll. I'm working on it, guys.
Well, I just, you know, when I see that, I think of Firefly, where they're all sitting around the table and laughing and telling their stories, and, you know, and then just all the different series that Joss does, where, you know, we have our family, but we also have each other as a family.
Yeah.
Gotta cry.
Aw, Steph. Hey, we forgot to finish talking about the episode. The Bronze. The party.
Oh, yeah.
The floaty lesbian dancing.
Everybody is... Because of the events of the episode, the party is a much better party than it would have been.
Oh, it would have been so lame.
Buffy didn't know what to get her. Xander didn't know what to get her. He had said that he had her an awesome gift, but he really didn't.
No.
Yeah. So it was a great birthday party.
That was pretty rad.
And floating up at the end was adorable.
It was cute.
And no one else in the Bronze noticed it.
Of course, it's Sunnydale.
It looks when they went out to the little bit wider shot, it looked kind of weird. It just looked like two bodies that were hung in the middle of the room, but
it did look a little bit like that.
Yeah, but I thought it was so cute.
Yeah. All right. Facebook feedback.
Oh, let me open Facebook.
Rachel says, a slightly disappointing resolution to Tara sabotaging Willow's demon finding spell in season 4. Amy Adams, fuck you, Riley. In summary, floaty lesbian dancing equals magic sex? Sorry, equals magic equals sex? The metaphors are confusing.
So we didn't really go into what Riley was doing at that bar.
Oh, let's go back. Riley at the bar.
Why?
I think he's looking for trouble.
I think he's kind of sticking his toe in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, because at first I was like, oh, he's not going to cheat on Buffy. Like, he's not going to do that. I'm like, why is he buying this rando a drink? Come on now.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, I don't know, if a person kind of wanted to cheat and they were curious,
but then
they were chicken. I don't know. That's how I took it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was just looking for some demons to beat up.
Yeah.
That vampire girl in the bar, that's actually the girl that Vampire Willow bit in Doppelgangland.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So she's a vampire?
Uh-huh. Wow.
Are we supposed to? Never mind. I don't want to.
What, the girl that he was that he was being hit on by?
No, but I'm like, if Willow was a vampire and bit this girl, and now she's a vampire in the real world, are we supposed to link that together?
No, I just think that
it was the same actress.
Yeah, you're not. Probably not.
I hope so, because I was like, I hope we weren't supposed to pick up on that, because there's no way I would have remembered.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a little bit weird. But Willie the Snitch wasn't there.
I know. I was like,
and they made a point about saying that he wasn't there. Rachel also says, as I'm tightening my mic stand.
All right, this is also my least favorite episode that is written and directed by Josh Whedon. It's not terrible, but I have much higher expectations from him. I think I did too. But I liked the episode. I didn't hate it. It wasn't my favorite.
Same here.
It was just smaller scale than you come to expect.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Let me read Heath, because this is the one that I most agree with. Heath Fowler says, I think there may be a very subtle metaphor in this episode. We'll never know, however, because if there was, it was impossible to see behind the really, really obvious one that smacked us in the face like a freaking sledgehammer. I love me some Joss Whedon, but if I have any criticism of the man, is that he sometimes is a bit ham-fisted with his metaphors when he's passionate about the message he wants to send. Sometimes that works really, really well. Other times I get a little bit eye-rolly. Still, at least the Tara mystery is over. Or is it? Illyrio was picking up on exactly the cues he was meant to, and it was all a mislead. Or was it? And finally, I can't let this slide. Why must every bigoted character in existence have a southern accent? Even hotel-dwelling demons that fuel racism and bigotry get southern accents. Come on. I'll grant we've had our fair share down here, but we don't hold a monopoly. There is a point at which that particular director's, writer's, actor's crutch becomes an act of stereotyping and bigotry itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll step off my soapbox now. Anyway, have a great episode, Fracture of Femur. Kevin sent in his feedback.
Val Pass said, I feared Gabby's head might explode while watching this Tara-centric episode, because as you voiced your dislike for her with each episode, I thought, oh crap, wait till she gets to Fabley. She's going to lose her shit, and not in a good way. I hope it wasn't too bad for you, Gabby. Well, as you can all hear, Gabby is no longer on the show. I can only imagine what you did during that damn floaty dance. Dry heaves? Maybe eye rolls? Here's some thoughts.
Were you guys excited when you thought Tara was maybe not who you thought she was? Because yes. You speculated about that.
Yes.
Was it a major letdown finding out about it being the doings of her awful family? Yes. Hugely disappointing. Gax, did you guys think for a second it was Buffy and not Harmony in bed with Spike after that Buffy-Spike dream fight scene? I know I did the first time I watched. It was like, what the hell is happening? No, I knew it was Harmony. In the bed. With Spike. All naked. Look at the size of that crystal.
That's so horrible.
Mr. McClay found in Tara's room. Or as he referred to it, toys. Shout out to Cordy. Amy Adams looks almost the same today.
She does.
Very true.
So I guess for me, she looks entirely unrecognizable today still.
Did you not see the fighter?
No.
Did you see Ella? Not Ella Enchanted, that's Anne Hathaway. Did you see Enchanted?
But?
Is it Ever After? Oh, Enchanted.
Enchanted.
The song's called Ever After.
Did you see Junebug?
Nope.
Did you? We'll send you a link. Right. Okay. Go ahead.
I guess I'll.
Anything that her brother was in or her cousin.
Who?
Tara's.
I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm out of touch with popular television. I mean, come on, I BitTorrent Red Dwarf episodes.
You are the father of two young children.
Yes, who are in Mexico right now. So I get to just sleep all day. I guess all the people in the Bronze were either really stoned or just blasé about there being two girls floating above the dance floor. Well, after all, it is Sunnydale. And after witnessing the mayor turning into a giant snake at your graduation, two girls floating on the dance floor, I guess is, oh, sure, whatever. On a shallow note, Nick Brendan's blue shirt fit him very nicely.
It sure did.
Very handsome.
Hello
in this
there, Xander Pex.
It's so weird. In this, when he walked into the magic shop for the first scene, I was like, damn, Xander, what's going on?
Well, Kimberly, when you were here last month, did I not show you my autographed picture of Nicholas Brendan where he has his top off?
You did.
I think Nicholas Brendan is very confident and self-assured, and he has to put on the facade that is
Xander
Harris, the awkward, you know, less than self-confident character. And I think he was dropping his character in this episode. Anyway, but Jazz was very handsome in this episode.
As well.
Everyone was very handsome.
Everyone was handsome.
Except Tara's father.
Yeah.
Simone says, Tara's origin story. I really like this episode. The Scoobies don't get Tara. Sound familiar, Gak? But they sure as hell aren't going to let her mentally abusive family leave with her. Even Spike is all, hell no. Although, no, I think the actual quote is something I won't say. I believe this is the first time we hear Tara's last name, McClay. It's not uber important, but I like that sort of character detail. Miss Kitty appears in this episode. Spike is still having sex dreams about Buffy. Giles learns about Dawn's true nature. The Beast is running amok, sending demons after peoples. Sweet intern Ben almost becomes demon food. Riley bumps into Sandy at Willie's bar. Why do I bring this up? Because we've seen her before. Sandy is the girl Vamp Will bit in Doppelgang Land. This is Whedon continuity at its best. Amy Adams, before she got all famous. Okay, sure, famous. What do you say? And a sexy floating willow
She's an Oscar-nominated actress, and you don't know her?
Oscar-nominated?
Yeah, for The
Listen,
Fighter.
If you're not nominated for an Academy Award, I don't care.
You don't know.
All right.
Selena,
not Gomez, says... This is definitely not one of my favorite episodes of the season. The moral of the story was lovely, and the episode serves to solidify the Scoobies' bond. But the setup was very contrived. The writer spent too much time and energy setting Tara up to look like she had some deep, dark, evil secret, almost hitting us over the head with the clues, only to get to this episode and go, ta-da, we fooled you! Except no one really cares? I don't know. I know I'm in the minority, but I'm with Gabby on this one. I'm not really a fan of Tara.
I do like her and Willow together in theory, though, so I guess I'm glad that she wasn't evil after all.
You know, usually when, you know, they pull the rug out from under us, that type thing, where they do the misdirect, I get so upset. Mm-hmm. But for this episode, I didn't mind because Tara didn't know her herself, you know? It'd be different if she knew and she was misleading everybody. Yeah. But she didn't know. So I was like, okay.
Ina says, it's Tara's backstory about time, don't you think? This isn't one of my favorites, but I do love the ending and the notion that family isn't necessarily the people you're related to. Spike punching Tara to reveal the scam, hell yeah. Sweet dancing floating scene. I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Love it. Carrie says, I love Anya in this episode. She was great. Jimmy says, did Gabby cheer when Spike punched Tara in the face, in the nose? I'm sure she did, because I heard a faint, woohoo, about 3 days ago. Okay, Julia says, my favorite part of this episode is when Spike punches Tara in the face. It is such a messed up Spike way to show you care about someone. And I love that Anya is the one to point out, not all demons are evil. And how confused Tara's creepy family seems to be by that line questioning. Basically, I love any scene where we see the relationships between the more, what's that word? Peripheral members of the group. Like back in season 4, when Anya and Tara hid in the bathroom during the group fight, or when Spike and Anya lamented losing their power. Anyways, I think it's a great episode, and I'm glad Tara turned out not to be a demon. It's nice to know that Willow found love with an actual human. That's so true.
I should, you know what? I should be happy for Willow.
It's so hard to do in Sunnydale. The floaty dancing scene is cute. Does this mean Willow could fly if she tried to?
I believe I can fly.
Cute. Oh, here we go. Gabby. So much that I want to say, but I have to save it for the show. Gabby, you have to send in something.
Grant says, so that's now 3 Oscar-nominated Buffyverse guest stars. Can you name the other 2, Gak?
What?
The other 2?
There are 3 Oscar-nominated guest stars.
Michael Giacchino?
He's not a guest star.
Jeremy Renner?
Oh, no, but he was an angel. Wait a second, he was Oscar-nominated?
Yeah, for what? For the Hurt Locker.
Oh, that propaganda film. Okay.
Uh-huh. So, does Angel consider the Buffyverse?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know who the 3rd one is.
I get confused with Buffyverse and Whedonverse. I guess because it's a spinoff, I guess it's the Buffyverse, and they are in the same universe. Okay.
This is going to bug me now. Jeremy Renner. Do you know who it is, Stephanie?
No, I know that eventually there will be Tony winners, but... Ooh. Oh, spoiler. I'm Googling it.
Rich says, I like cheese just fine, but too much of it can make you sick. Just saying. I agree.
Justified.
Agreed. Anything else? Are we going to read more? Or
I think we just have... Let's end with Nutty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how about, oh, shoot. Jonathan.
Danny Strong
won an...
No, that was an Emmy.
He won an Emmy for Yeah. Nutty says, I love this episode. This was, for me, a great one because Tara being there starts to make sense. They point out how she doesn't quite fit in. We get answers to our question as to why she messes up some spells. Every time I see this, I sniffle a little. Perhaps I identify too much with Tara, having lied most of my life, feeling like I didn't fit in. Now I don't care.
Nice.
Ben Affleck was in the Buffy movie.
Was he?
Oh, I think everybody feels a little bit left out sometimes.
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100% normal.
When I learned from watching it that it was going to be a Tara episode, I was like, uh-oh. But because she wasn't one of my favorites, but I totally have warmed up to her. Because I know, it's so weird. I was not a fan. I won't say that I'm a full fan of her now, but I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to cut her some slack and not have all this hate on her.
Understood. All right. Well, I think that's all for feedback. Thanks, everyone. You can give us a call at 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com. That's the one.
And you can visit the website, PotentialCast.com. Follow us on Twitter at PotentialCast. And obviously the Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/PotentialCast. Keep it spoiler-free or else. I think it's time for us to rate. Let's let our guest rate it first.
I give it an 8.5 out of 10 floating lesbian witches.
Nice.
I did not write anything down, but I'm going to say, I don't know, it was, other than the, misogynist Southern stereotypical family, it was, I can't really complain. It was fine. I'm going to give it 7.5. Oh, I don't know. Wiccan toys.
Oh my.
<At 10. laughs> Definitely.
Oh.
I'll also give it 7.5. 7.5 invisible demons. I liked the... I enjoyed it much more than I did, even though I usually give episodes an 8. But the only thing that really, truly bugged me was the stutter talk. Because it completely took me out of the episode. Other than that, I was totally into the episode. But then it went from Tara speaking to the actress trying to portray I'm uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from.
And yeah. the jokes weren't lame per se. But they were not as sharp-witted as Joss's jokes usually are.
Yeah, I think maybe he was a little bit too invested in this message.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And that's why we're all kind of a little disappointed with it. Well, I have Gabies. Sounds like a disease. Oh, I'm so sorry. But you have to tell your partners I have Gabies. I have Gabby's rating here. For family, I rate it as such. On a scale of... to... Hot damn! I give it a whatevs. And
oh, she's different.
I am going to say that I enjoyed this episode. And then I really, really liked it, and really, really liked it, and really, really liked it, and then I was very angry. But it passed. I don't much care for Tara right now. I find her to be a little bit... I find her superfluous, because we had a lot of that kind of shy, angsty character from Willow. And I think having Tara there kind of just rehashes some stuff. And I'm really happy that Willow has a partner. I was surprised they went with a partner that had less confidence than her. I thought maybe it would have been more interesting if Willow's partner was a more experienced, more confident, more awesome witch. And that's in fact what I expected all along.
I think in a way it's a good thing because we get to see Willow in a more confident role.
I agree. Or rather, I don't disagree with you. But at the same situation, I think, you know, that's basically my perspective on Tara. And having her family come up and say that she's got to go home because of witchcraft in that way just kind of. I don't know. I was like, really, Joss? This is what you're giving us as an antagonist? So I'm going to give this a 6 out of 10 awful beards. That's what I'm going to give it. All right. I think it's quote time. Caitlin. Catrin. Catrin.
I swear by your full and manly beard, you're going to break something trying.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on, my notes aren't loading. Oh, this is my favorite quote because it made me do a complete eye roll. Only losers drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so self-referential. Am I late? Did I miss any exposition?
That was awesome. You learn her source and we'll introduce her to her inset reflection. That was funny. If you studied Tagler in Mythic Rites and are a complete dork. It's awesome. Any more?
I also liked, you're like the god of boyfriends. No, I just like it when you owe me favors. This earned you a big favor. There could be outfits.
That was awful. I mean, your reading was spectacular, but that whole situation was awful.
I know. That's why I like it so much.
Yes, well, why don't you start organizing the shipping orders? Oh, no, that's boring. I just want to do the money parts. Which I agree with her entirely. The best part was always dealing with the register.
I laughed out loud when Spike did his thing at the end. When they're all, like, standing up and, like, you know, the I'm Spartacus scene. He's like, except me. I don't care. I don't care what happens.
I don't care.
So funny.
Yeah.
So perfect.
It was awesome. Any more?
I think that's it.
Catrin, thank you.
Thank you, Catrin, so for coming on and spreading your Terra love.
Thank you for spreading the Terra love. I really do. I'm
always happy
it.
To spread the Terra love.
So are you working right now and taking a break? Or
no, I actually had to trade to get tonight off so I could record this. And then I had to come in because my Wi-Fi at home stopped working.
Wi-Fi sucks.
It does.
Mine's pretty awesome, actually.
Right now, mine's okay. What a good.
Are you on any other podcasts?
I am not.
All right. Well, if you'd like people to be able to reach you or join you or follow you on any kind of social media, here's the moment.
You could follow me on Tumblr, catrinsgonnaclain.tumblr.com. Awesome.
That's our first Tumblr shout out. Woo! It only took us, 115 episodes? That's great.
Good times.
Awesome.
What do we have to do next week, Stephanie?
Oh.
Fool for love?
Fool for love.
Let's try to predict, Kim.
Yeah, tell me what it's about.
Fool for love? I think it has something to do with Spike and his feelings for Buffy. He's going to act a fool because he loves her.
I'm going to call that and raise you. It'll be a period piece.
No way.
It'll be a period piece, and it'll be like Pride and Prejudice.
Stop it.
And Riley, Spike, and the intern are going to be the sisters. And Buffy will be Mr. Darcy.
So this intern, he's probably something important if they keep bringing him back every episode.
I hope he's an important victim.
Doogie, yeah, he better be.
Yeah, at least you don't see him writing in his electronic journal at the end of every episode. Right. Well, thanks again, Catrin. We appreciate you being on the show.
Glad to be here.
Well, everyone, until next time, thank you for listening. Keep listening. Tell your friends. Subscribe. Goodbye, everyone.
Namaste.
Bye.
Bye.
think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. See, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. There are miracles in life I must achieve. But first I know it starts inside of me. Oh, oh, if I can see it, then I can be it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Oh, I believe I can fly. Hey, 'cause I believe in you. Oh, if I can see it, then I can do it.
I can do it.
If I just believe it, there's nothing to it.
I will.
What?
I don't want any more angry emails.
Oh, yeah. someone sent an email because I said that before.
No, because I went off on a thing.
I think we all did.
I think we all did.
Oh.
It's okay.
And mean, it's true. Anyway.
You say whatever you want. I'll edit anything out that might be.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, the episode I released yesterday had none of the vulgar, sexually offensive stuff that I was reading. So I took it out. It's all good.
I'm sorry.
Katrin, you're behind the curtain. Beware.
I hope I didn't offend you, Katrin.
I'm not offended.
Well, you offended me.
Oh.
It's all good.
Close your eyes. I'm writing graffiti.